Our Heavenly God, we are grateful, Lord, to come before you this morning. We are grateful, Lord, to come to be addressed by you. We are grateful, Lord, to come into your presence, Lord, to be the children of God who have been given, Heavenly Father, the opportunity, the right, the privilege of being addressed by you, the privilege also of speaking to you this morning. Here is your church, O God. Here are your people, Heavenly Father. May you work now in each and every one of us' hearts. Speak to us this morning through the preaching of your word. Use the servant, O God, that you have prepared this morning. Use the word that you have prepared this morning, O God, to speak life in the lives of your people, to raise the dead from the graves, O God, that they may come to life, that they may come to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. O our God, speak to us, we ask. Heavenly Father, we pray, O God, that you may touch each and every individual this morning, that you may take away anything in our hearts, in our minds, that might distract us as we come before your holy presence. O God, we are ready, Heavenly Father, to hear from you. Teach us as you will, O God, in the wonderful name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say amen.
Amen.
I greet you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
It
is a great joy for us to be in the house of the Lord again. And I must greet you, even those that I see for the first time. Maybe you are not here for the first time because last week I was not here. But may the good Lord extend his hand of mercy to each and every one of you. We are continuing this morning on our study in the Gospel according to Matthew. So we're going to open and read together from Matthew chapter 4. We're reading from verse 1 to 11. However, our attention will just be in verse number 1 for this morning.
So open in your
Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. In the Pew Bibles, the ESV, it is in page
809.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. May the Lord write his eternal truth in our hearts. The title of this message, Jesus Led to be Afflicted. We had a very glorious ending in chapter number 3. We saw Jesus coming to John the Baptist to be baptized by him. Then we saw in there that Jesus was identifying himself with us, sinful and fallen men. God approves him. He approved of him. And we see the Spirit of God descending upon him in a form of a dove. And the voice is heard from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Now
here in chapter number 4, this goes to a next level. It goes to a different level. The Bible says immediately, just after his baptism, the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness to be afflicted by the devil.
Chapter 4, hang a katao sa mesing a katao kolobetwa.
The very Spirit that descended upon him now leads him to the wilderness to be afflicted.
So
we come to meet this man, the only man who was tested and tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So my aim this morning, my friends, is to confirm to you that God is in control. God is in control in every turn of our lives, whether good or bad, but God is in control. And I hope you'll be encouraged then to look up to Jesus, to gaze upon his beauty, that you may be encouraged, my friends, that you may draw to Jesus as your only Savior. I hope you'll be encouraged then to look unto Jesus, who is in control in all our afflictions. Some of our brothers from Mnandi, we have heard just now from our friend as he was praying, that they are kept in Krugersdorp. They'll be deported back to Malawi. But what I want you to know is that God is in control. God has a plan to prosper us, not a plan to harm his people. So this morning, there are three obvious facts that I want us to draw from this text, especially this verse 1 that we have just read this morning. Three obvious facts in the afflictions of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'll
read again verse number 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Three things I want us to learn from this verse. The first obvious fact is that the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. The Spirit leads Jesus to a place of trial. The Spirit leads Jesus to a place primarily not for trial but for preparation as he will just begin his ministry of the gospel. Think about someone that goes to the army. When you go to the army, you are going there to be prepared to be able to fight and protect your country. But in the early days of your preparation, it feels like an intense training. You feel like you just need to go back home. But those who endure in that preparation, they serve their country well. They become heroes in their countries. In the same way, in our preparation, if we endure in our preparation, in our own wilderness, as we just going to see in the life of Christ, if we endure, we will become the heroes of faith. So Jesus is strong, he's led to the wilderness to be prepared. Remember, Israel was prepared by God in the wilderness. Testing their obedience, testing their trust, testing their patience, testing their dependence upon God. But Israel failed in the test, my friend. They did not endure the temptation. They did not endure the wilderness. They complained and they sinned before God. But in the contrary, here is Jesus. He's led to the wilderness and he stands in the wilderness. He stands victorious before the devil, as we're going to see in the near future. He stands victorious in the wilderness so that we may know that we can stand through Jesus in the wilderness. So he goes through this tough preparation as a soldier that goes to an army to fight for his people, to protect his own. So Jesus is not in the wilderness, my friend, to prove that man can stand the wilderness. That's not what Jesus is in the wilderness for. He's not saying that it is easy to be in the wilderness. He's not saying that it is easy to be in a place of desolation, to be in a place where there seems to be no hope. But the Spirit leads him to the wilderness to prove that he is that loving and kind Messiah who goes first into the wilderness for his people. Get that one right. He goes first into the wilderness for his people.
He goes
there to bring everything under his feet. To disarm the devil, to disarm this chief of all evils. So Jesus enters the strong man's house. He enters and paralyzes the strong man's evil intention and the strong man's evil mission. So that he may easily spoil everything that he purposes. He must spoil his goods. I have a colleague of mine who loves soccer so much. He always tells me how embarrassing it is to be beaten in your own home ground before your own people. So Jesus goes to turn the experience of the wilderness from this memorable experience of complaint to a memorable experience of victory.
Jesus
He goes to the wilderness to defeat the devil or to defeat Satan in his own home ground. So we see in this, my friends, that before victory, there should be a battle and a battlefield. Before there is sunrise, there should be darkness that is conquered. But at the same time, let me bring this to you as a Christian. You can see that just after a wonderful experience with God, you can immediately find yourself in a wilderness. After having a wonderful time with God, you will find yourself in a great trial in this world. Here is Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God approves of him. He descends upon him. God speaks from heaven, "This is my son." But immediately he is led to the wilderness. We know this also in the life of the prophet Elijah. Just after destroying 400 prophets of Baal, immediately he finds himself in the wilderness. Friends, divine favor does not guarantee a continuous joy in this world.
Maybe
swimming and enjoying the goodness of God. But there is a wilderness that waits for you. And you will enter into that wilderness. Mark chapter 1 verse 12 says, just to emphasize what's happening here in the wilderness with Jesus, he says, "And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals." I think that's very important for us to know. "And the angels were ministering to him."
And
the most important point that I want to bring to you is that he was in the wilderness with wild animals. This is not the same situation as it was with Adam. Adam was in the Garden of Eden with harmless animals.
So
Jesus comes to a fallen world, a world in ruins because of Adam's sin. He comes to this world of sin and terrifying world of wickedness. He comes to reverse what Adam had done. He comes to fix, as it were, this broken world of ours. He goes to a place of no food. Not a place where God will say, "Eat this, do not eat that." The place of no food. A place of no comfort. Surrounded by danger in every way. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights. That time, my friend, links, 40 days, 40 nights, it links Jesus with the great prophets of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah, who both were in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. But there is a difference when it comes to Jesus. When it comes to Jesus, the difference is that the gospel of Christ will be preached and Jesus will be greater than Moses and Elijah as he continues to preach his gospel.
He's
there for 40 days and 40 nights. He takes on Satan directly and he wins this decisive victory, which sets his ministry on a victorious streak. All these things I'm talking about, you can see them as Jesus begins to preach the gospel. As he begins to preach the gospel, he goes to Galilee. The demons, they tremble before him.
Ra bona le msebetsing ha ntsa tsamaya ntsa shumayela le mademoni a ntsa thuthumela mothaba.
Because it began from the wilderness.
Kobane o qadile kwana lefelleng.
So before Jesus is followed as a shepherd by the sheep, the Spirit of God leads him to the wilderness to prepare him for his people, to prepare him as a shepherd looking after a sheep.
Pele morena Jesu a ka kgona gore ebe ena molatapele wa batho ba gae o iswa lefelleng gore a lo lekwa pele gore a tlo kgona
to the wilderness as a true Israel who will be victorious in every way. The Israel who will not complain in the wilderness. The Israel who will not look back to Egypt. But the Israel who will look forward to the promises of God. He is in the wilderness to win for his people a way back to God. A way back to life. And through this experience of Jesus in the wilderness, as we're going to unfold it in the days to come, through this experience of Jesus, through this experience of the wilderness, we can be encouraged, my friends. As we go through our own wilderness in this life, we can be encouraged. As we go through our own wilderness each and every day, what is our encouragement? In our own wilderness, we are being prepared to conform to the image of the Son of God. We are being purified like gold so that we may stand victorious, so that one day we may enter into the rest that is set for us. So let us not complain in our own wilderness. Let us look unto Jesus, the man who went there first for us, so that we may stand victorious in Him. I know, my friends, that life sometimes is challenging. A place of no food, a place of no comfort, a place that seems as if there is no hope. Wild animals surrounding Him. Sometimes life is challenging, my friends. But the question is, how do you respond in your own wilderness? Are you able to look unto Jesus? Are you able to hold the promises of God? Do you always look to Jesus, or do you just fall back all the time in discouragement? Do you fall in discouragement, or do you march forward unto victory? In your wilderness, my friends, do you remember that Jesus knows your sorrow and pain? Do you remember that Jesus is in control? In your trouble and in your great distress of life, Jesus is in control. Do you remember in your wilderness that He loves and cares for you? And indeed, my friend, it is true. Sometimes He leads you to a situation that is not comfortable, an uncomfortable situation, where you will be surrounded by an intimidating beast. But friends, God has a plan. God has a purpose. He is in control. The Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. There we see the sovereignty of God in all matters of life. But at the same time, we see the submission and the obedience of Christians as we look at Jesus obediently and willfully following the lead of the Spirit.
The
question is, my friend, do you follow the lead of the Spirit? Are you able to hear when God leads you? Are
we
able to see when it is not God that leads you, it's the devil that tempts you? Are you being led by the Spirit of God? Because the Bible says all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. The Spirit can only lead the sons of God, the daughters of God.
Are
you one of them?
But
secondly, the second obvious fact that we find here in this verse is that the Spirit led Jesus to be tempted. So we see that the wilderness is not just a place of physical challenges, a place of physical preparation, but the wilderness is also a place of spiritual challenges, a spiritual preparation. As the Son of God is afflicted by the devil. So he was not just led to the wilderness as some kind of a training camp. But there was temptation. He was tried. That is what happens in the wilderness. That what happens as we live in our life, as we are in this journey, in our pilgrimage, through this life, looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There always going to be temptation. What is temptation? Temptation is the desire to perform an action that one may enjoy immediately or in short term, but at the end of the day will probably bring regret. Temptation also, I can say, is a test or is a trial that is designed by the devil to give you an opportunity to sin and do evil against God. To confuse you, not to see what is good and what is bad. For temptation is not sin, but temptation is an opportunity to sin. So when it is all being said and done, the question that remains with you, my friend, my brother and sister, how do you respond to your temptation? Because that's what determines, that what sets right and wrong, that what divides the people, they are of God or not of God.
When you are tempted,
how do you respond?
So
what we see in this verse is that in everything that Christ did, he was led by the Spirit. Friend, does everything that I do in the control and the leading of the Spirit, if I claim to be of God, am I led by the Spirit?
In everything that he did,
he was led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God was upon him. And when the Spirit of God is upon man, the free will of man dies to the sovereign rule of God. You begin to say, not my will, O God, your will be done in my life. Your free will dies to the sovereign rule of God. So we see here Jesus as man submitting to the will of the Father. Do you submit to the will of the Father, my friend? He shows us the death of self which is required from us. Someone needs to die. You need to die from inside so that you may submit to the will of God. While you are standing and alive, you cannot submit to the will of God. One needs to die to God. We see here that the Spirit led him to be tested. But the Spirit is not in any way capable of tempting people, my friends. But the Spirit can drop you in a situation where Satan is allowed to test you. Where Satan is allowed to tempt you. The Spirit can draw you to a situation where Satan is allowed to test you. You remember the story of Joseph? Sold by his brothers. Sold into Egypt. Coming to the house of
Potiphar.
Led by God to rule the house of Potiphar so glorious and good.
But
Potiphar's wife tested him and tempted him. God does not tempt people, my friend.
He
never tempts anyone. But he does use circumstances to test the characters of men. It is not an opportunity for you to take. You hear people say, God does not give in the hand, God drops down for you to pick up.
No, my friend.
That's not a blessing. Taking an opportunity to fall into sin because of temptation that will benefit you doesn't mean that God wants you in that way. God cannot be tempted by sin, and he himself tests no one, says the Bible.
Okay, nyale tso la o se bengwe nana re ke ntho ke mudima o ke tsaka re ke mudima o so lo lofatsa mudima a etse jwalo.
But here is the good news, my friend.
Impact abatse mnati pise.
Even in temptation,
le meliko,
Jesus went there first for us.
Mudima morena Jesu ke yena ya ile mpile ho rona.
He went there first for us. And Satan had no claim in him. The Bible says in John
14 verse 30,
I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, but he has no claim on me.
I cannot
We are created by God and fell into sin. For that reason, the devil has a claim on us.
But
Jesus is pure. The devil has no claim in him. This is the man I can rely upon in my own temptation. For he desire no wickedness, no lust is in his heart, no pride is in his heart and in his life. But the temptation came to afflict him on our behalf. We will go through these different temptations in the near future so that we can go and see the first temptation, the second one, and the third. But the temptation, my friends, comes to Christ on our behalf. Jesus is pure. That we learn, my friend, that only those who are pure in heart and upright in heart can endure, can stand, and when they are tempted. Friends, we are in the world of spiritual affliction, tempted to unbelief, tempted to think that you deserve better. Tempted to question God in every way. But we forget that Jesus went there for us first. He went there to rescue those who are tempted each and every day. So what is your encouragement, my friend?
King,
in all your temptation, you are not alone. Jesus is with you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse
13,
no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your abilities. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape. So that you may be able to endure it. Here's the question, my friend. How do you handle your temptation? Do you handle your temptation well, or you just give in? Do you look unto Jesus and resist the devil, my friend? Next week we shall see how Jesus overcame temptation. But what is clear for us this morning is that when you are tempted, you must not look unto yourself. When you are tempted, don't stand to fight a fight that you will lose. You need to look unto Jesus. Look upon the one who overcame temptation. When temptation comes to you, my friend, don't think that hell is breaking loose on you. God is in control, my friends. God is in control. You can trust, you can yield on Him. So the Spirit led Jesus to be tempted, to be challenged spiritually, my friend, to test His love, to test His obedience to God, to prove Him as the Son of God. That is the whole purpose of the Gospel of Matthew. Who is this Jesus? He is the Son of God, the promised Messiah who was to come into the world. Now He's proven again to be the only man that can stand in the wilderness, be tested, but then overcome. To be tempted so that He might triumph over temptation. So that you in Him may be the sons of God. So that He may be able to sympathize with your own weaknesses. To win that battle which Adam lost. To win that battle which we face each and every day. This is the new and the last Adam, who is victorious over temptation, and in Him we can live. So my friends, if Jesus was led to be tempted, you will be led to be tempted. But we are able to stand. You are able to overcome in Him by faith, obedience, and submission. In Him we are kept from evil. So here's my question again. So if temptation is a daily battle, my friend, and if I can only overcome temptation by looking unto Jesus, my friend, if that is the case, are you in Jesus? Are you saved, my friends? Is your sin forgiven? Are your burdens of your heart rolled away? Did you come to Him in faith and repentance? You as a Christian, do you work your salvation in trembling and fear, looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith? Does temptation point you to Jesus, my friend? In temptation, do you remember as a Christian that the Spirit of God is always upon you? Jesus is led to be tempted by the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God did not leave Him. In temptation, the Spirit of God is still upon you. Jesus Christ, you can stand. The Spirit is with you. Regardless of the situation, God is alive and He lives in you.
Are you living in Him?
Do you draw near to Him? Do you show that life that
you
are in Christ? The third obvious observation you find in this verse is that Jesus was led to the devil. He was led to the wilderness. He was led to be tempted. Now I'm saying He's led to the devil. Why am I saying He's led to the devil? Why am I differentiating between temptation and devil? Simple, my friends. We need to know who is this devil. Simple, my friends. We can all, and we are all tempted. But none of us can face, none of us can stand face to face with the devil. Who is this devil? Who is this adversary that we have? Who is this tempter? Who is behind all the evil in the world? Who is behind Boko Haram? Who is behind of the children? Who is behind all
all the abuse that is going on in this world, abuse of innocent children and women. Who is behind all the evil that takes place in this place? Someone need to encounter this adversary. Someone need to encounter this evil force. It doesn't help to help me and tell me how to overcome temptation.
If that
source of temptation is not defeated,
he's
led to the devil. Come one on one with the devil. Matthew does not reveal to us the form which the devil took as he stands before Jesus in his weakness after actually spending 40 days without food. Matthew is not revealing the form of the devil. That is not the point here. But Matthew reveals the devil so that we may see the greatness of Jesus. You see, for you to be known as the greatest boxer in the world, for you to have that fame around you, you need to beat Mike Tyson. If you have never beaten Mike Tyson, you are not the greatest boxer in the world.
Gore wena o tsebale jalo ka boxer e golo, tsa mo sole o lo reng kena ya ka odimo, tsa mo sole mso mo Mike Tyson.
This is the devil. That is Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson ona ke Satan.
Right, I'm making an example. Someone needs to destroy him. Whether he bites the ear, but someone needs to destroy this devil.
Ona le motho lo re tsama a sole yena Satan ona la lo rakalwana jwang.
This tempter.
Muliki ona.
This evil force. So the whole point, my friend, is for us to see the greatness of Jesus Christ. So we see this old serpent who is called Satan comes for Jesus. This terrifying creature which none of us can stand before comes for Jesus. So you can see this is not the devil of your everyday TV show. This is not the devil of your charismatic TV, my friend. This is not the devil of the TBN TV, of the God Never Fails TV. This is not the usual devil that people speak about. This is the devil, my friend, who can only be handled by Jesus. Not the devil that can be bound by the pastor and every Jeff and Jill in the church.
It's
not the devil you can bind and still goes on to torment the church, my friend. This is evil power. This is evil power, my friends. This is not the devil of your favorite movie. The devil with horns and a fork in his hand.
No,
my friend. This is not the devil of your favorite cartoon, Mtewo. The devil who's been killed by a small boy with a token called Pokemon.
Pokemon.
This is the devil who deceived Adam, but he tempted Eve. Because of this devil, here we stand in enmity with God. Because of this devil, we are the enemies of God. This is not some easy going kind of a creature that allows you to do all that you want so that you may be happy.
This
is the enemy of all that is good and all that is righteous. This is the enemy of God. This is the one who is not going to be happy that we are here this morning. This is the evil force, my friend. The source of all evil. The one whose purpose is to kill, to steal and destroy. The one who roams around like a hungry lion looking for someone to devour. But here he comes face to face with Jesus. He comes face to face with the Master, my friend. And what we see is something not really
good on the side of the devil.
We
see, as we unfold this chapter, we see the devil being defeated.
The
only man to defeat the devil. Jesus Christ. The Son of the Living God. Why defeat the devil, O Jesus?
Why
so that me and you can stand.
Cannot
be terrified by the devil. So that me and you cannot have the fear of life.
And
have hope of the future. Jesus Christ. The Son of God. So my friend, what I'm saying to you is that if you fall to temptation, it is because you were drawn there by your own evil intentions, by your own lust. You are enticed by your own sinful desires. If you fall into temptation, it's because you did not look unto Jesus, the only victor.
It's
because you've given the devil an opportunity. We'll see next week also
how
not to give the devil an opportunity. So the Spirit of God led Jesus to the devil. He leads Jesus to this accuser of God to man, the accuser of man to God. The God of this world who blinded man. Now he goes one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ. The aim is that we may see the divine mission of Jesus as well. Not that we may see the greatness of Jesus. Pay careful attention. Not that we may only see the greatness of Jesus, but that we may see also the divine mission of Jesus. What is the divine mission of Jesus? That we may be saved. That's why Jesus came, so that we may be saved. He came to save his people from their sin.
Remember
the first time Satan appeared in scripture? The whole human race rebelled against God. People began to kill each other. Evil was found in the hearts of men. What is the point?
King,
we never had a man who would be victorious. Now we meet Jesus Christ. Jesus is our victor. Jesus is our conqueror. Jesus is our champion, our undisputed champion. Jesus is the one who brings glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So he is led to the wilderness to be afflicted, my friends, on your behalf. To be afflicted because it was impossible for one to come and destroy the kingdom of Satan unless he goes one-on-one with Satan in the beginning of his own ministry. He comes so that he may be prepared to help those who are tempted even today. To reveal the evil intentions of Satan. To reveal the evil intentions and the hatred of Satan, the hatred of the truth, the hatred of the church, the hatred of the individual. So what am I saying to you, my friend, is that when Satan rises in your own house, when Satan rises in your life, at work, everywhere you are, look unto Jesus, the only powerful force to defeat Satan. Don't trust in your empty power. Trust in the power of the cross. Put your life in the hands of God. And leave Satan in the hands of God. Friends, Satan is evil. In no way you should make friendship with him.
In no way you should listen to him. There is no truth in him. There is no way of knowing him. Because he changes everything. The Bible says he can present himself as an angel of light. So don't bother yourself studying him. Study God. Know God. Have God in you.
Let me close by these words from Dr. John MacArthur. MacArthur says, Jesus was led by the Spirit immediately after the moment of his great triumph. He was led by the Spirit. The Spirit leads Jesus to prove that the Spirit wants to prove that Jesus is the worthy King, he is the Savior. But on the evil one's perspective, he leads Jesus to be tempted so that he proves that Jesus is unrighteous. In his viewpoint, he wants to prove the unrighteousness of Jesus. MacArthur says, so we need to be careful. Because the things that comes into your life might either prove that you are righteous or they may drive you to sin. Be careful, my friends. Things in your life can prove you to be righteous or it can drive you to sin. It all depends on how you respond. So my friends, in this world of physical and spiritual afflictions, the question is, where is your confidence, my friends? Is your confidence in this all-powerful Son of God? Or is your confidence in you, or in something else, or in someone else? Each and every individual sitting in these pews needs to answer that question. Where is your confidence? Is your confidence in the all-powerful God named Jesus Christ? To you, Son of God, or child of God, the good news is that in the wilderness we are not alone. Jesus is our victor. The Bible says, for greater is he that is in you than the one that is in the world. Resist the devil, he will flee. The Bible says, in all this, we are more than conquerors through him who strengthens us, through him who loves us. Friends, God is in control. The question is he in control of your life? Have you surrendered your life unto him? Who would you call upon him to save you today? Will you call upon him to take away the wickedness of your heart and set you on the path of righteousness? Can you come and taste and see that God is good? Do you hear his call? Come to me, you who are heavy laden. I will give you rest, the rest of your soul. Do you hear his voice in your heart? He's calling for you. I have come down from heaven to earth, your soul to save. From the earth to the grave. Just for you. From the grave to the sky. That I may lift you up. Do you hear the call of Jesus? God is in control. Is he in control of your life? Come to him in faith and repentance. Is your future guaranteed now? Are you on your way to heaven? Because it is not difficult. Trust. Turn to him. Repent from your sin. Call upon his name. Come to Jesus. He loves you.
All right.
He gave himself for you.
He
went to the wilderness for you.
He was tempted for you.
He faced the devil for you. What love is this? What love is this? Let us pray.
Tata rona ma hodimong ra leboha ha so buile le rona Jehova re kopa hore ka motsotso ona Jehova lentsela ha o se lutwa hetse o bue le dipelo tsa bana ba hao o fetwe dipelo tsa bana ba hao o ntle dipelo tsena tsa lejwe o dikenye dipelo tsa nama. Oh Heavenly Father, we give you glory and praise, and we pray that your spirit may lead us, that you may deliver us from temptation, deliver us from evil, that we may walk in the light as you are in the light, that we may be one with you. Oh Heavenly Father, we pray that you would cause our hearts to repent and turn away from our sins and to be able to stand in the day of temptation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. May we please all stand then and sing together this glorious song of worship. It says, if you ask me, if you can come and ask me, what is my hope or what is my trust, I will say to you, my trust is in the Lord. Haring buta sepoyaka kitari kichesu. Number 84. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. May we all say Amen.
Amen.
Friends,